Holy One.
We ask for your wisdom and understanding to understand our world. May the words we share today inspire us, or may we be inspired in spite of them. Amen. So, a couple of weeks ago, I went to a conference in Honolulu. I know. How great is that? The funny thing about living in Vancouver is that it's cheaper to go to Honolulu than Toronto. So, the conference was put on by the East-West Philosophy Institute, and people came from all over the world to attend. Japan, China, Turkey, Spain, South America, some from Canada, most from the US. When people heard I was from Canada, they asked if Donald Trump was elected in November, if they could move here. And my husband suggested that we would do a trade. We'll trade them Quebec for Hawaii. The people who live in Hawaii actually thought that would be a good idea. They could stay in Hawaii and be Canadian. The conference is so well attended because it's one of the very few conferences where philosophers from Asian backgrounds and Western backgrounds meet together equally. The conversations were fast and furious and funny, and sometimes used really, really big words, and I had my iPhone out most of the time looking up words. So I just wanted to tell you about one of the talks because I found it so interesting. And because it's so important to who we are in this place in Richmond in the 21st century. The talk was given by a young philosopher called Brian Bruya. He's in his 30s. He's from Eastern Michigan University. Brian is a philosopher and a historian. Brian studies how people solve problems. This is what Brian told us. Diversity trumps ability. Right? Now, before you get really mad about that, here's what the research is showing. First of all, people like to be with people who are similar to them. That's what the research shows. Historical research, sociological research, shows that people, given the chance, will usually choose to be with groups that are the same as they are. They feel comfortable there. It's easier to build relationships within that comfort zone. There's a huge amount of evidence that people will choose to live, work, and play with people who are more like them, who look like them, but more likely people who talk like them and think like them. Now, before you despair for the future of humanity, remember, this is why Christ and Buddha and the Jewish prophets and so many others have given us the rules of engagement. Jesus says, "Welcome the stranger." And Jeremiah says, "Be kind to the foreigner who lives among you." And they give many more rules than that and ideas. Many of the great philosophical and religious traditions push people to move beyond the usual comfort zones to make new community with those who were once strangers. And we remember that Peter and Paul, the disciples, were pushed by revelation, by dreams, by God's voice, to move beyond their expectations about with whom they could be in relationship. But that's not actually the really interesting part of Brian's talk I wanted to tell you about. Here is the part I found interesting. In a series of projects, researchers tried to find out how people solve problems. All kinds of problems. How do people solve design problems in a house? Or design problems for a city? Or legal problems? In a hospital or medical situation, how do people solve ethical problems? They gathered people together, and they divided them into two sets of groups. The first set of groups were groups that had a lot in common. In one experiment, they used women and men from university who all belonged to sororities or fraternities. So in many cases, they actually knew each other. They gave them a problem to solve. The second group of groups, set of groups, they were very similar, but they added to each group someone from outside the group, somebody who wasn't similar. They found that the second set of groups came up with much better and more creative solutions. When a researcher finds something like that, what do? They immediately write for more grants, so that's what they did. And they got more grants, and they had a bigger study. And they added a group. So they added the group where they again had the groups that were like, the groups that had one person who was similar, and then a group where they had just assigned people to make sure they were diverse. So not at random, because they wanted to make sure they were fairly diverse. And the diverse groups came up with way more creative solutions. And they did it faster. Now you can imagine the next thought. This is all very well if you're trying to solve a social problem. But if you have a science problem or a mathematics problem, a physics problem, what you really want are the smartest, brainiest mathematicians going, right? They decided to test that. We have lots of new technology. We can involve people in solving a mathematics problem or a science problem without having to have them in the same room. So they invited people who were interested in math to participate, and they took applications. And they chose a math problem that has never been solved. Already there are projects going on around the world to solve this problem, where the brainiest mathematicians in those areas are getting together to solve that problem. In fact, people working on that problem have been working on it for 2 years or more. They hadn't solved it. So the researchers chose a diverse group of people from their applicants, mathematicians, math students, some high school teachers, biology majors, financial planners, and some people in prison, really. The professional groups had been trying to solve for 2 years. The diverse online groups did it in a few months. Why? Here's what they came up with. When all the people working on a problem are the same, they approach the problem the same way. They only look, as it were, at one side of a wall, not the other side. The researchers still weren't finished. They wanted to know how people felt about that process. So right after the problem-solving time, when the groups had presented their solutions, but before they knew what the answers were, who had done best, they asked them how they felt, what had worked, were they pleased? And they found an interesting thing. The groups with the really creative solutions, who had come up with the best ideas, they were not sure that they'd done very well. They didn't think they'd done anything great. They kept thinking about ways they might have done better. They weren't very confident. But the groups that were all alike, with the least creative solutions, or actually the wrong answers, they had a great time. They were really pleased with themselves. They enjoyed it. They were very confident in the work that they had done. The other groups were very much less confident. But all of them were ready to engage the process again. Diversity can trump ability, even in math. It wasn't the professional mathematicians who most quickly solved the problem. You don't really solve problems easily if you have a whole room full of Sheldon Coopers. And if you don't know who I'm talking about, ask around. You need those smart people, but you need the people who ask different questions in different ways. Our world is being torn apart over issues of diversity. Every major religion includes directions about how to get along with one another. That we're called by God not just to be kind to one another, though that's a good start, but to genuinely engage with one another. It's not just a nice thing to do. And it actually is not just a faithful thing to do, nor should it be a condescending thing to do. It's essential. We face the destruction of the planet if we can't come up with new creative solutions to our problems. And finding the best means to find those solutions is literally essential to our survival. The calls from demagogues to purge our systems of that diversity might destroy us. Christ never said working together was going to be easy, but he did tell us that God calls us into those relationships. Welcoming the stranger isn't just a Sunday morning platitude or a story we sell in Sunday school. It is the way forward to a future that we can't even yet imagine. In grace, in peace, and in friendship, when we work together. May it be so. Amen.